This morning we were going to have a missionary family here from Georgia, but she worked at a bank, and six of the tellers at the bank contracted COVID this past week. She is showing symptoms, and so he thought it would be better if they didn't come. And I agreed with him, and so I'm going to bring a message this morning that I have had sitting in my file for 2 years. Because I preached a similar message, not the same one, this is entirely new. I preached a similar message about 6 years ago, and one of the ladies in our congregation got up and left during the message, and she started telling people that I was asking people to do what I was not truly asking them to do. This morning, and I'm going to tell you ahead of time, I am not preaching at anyone. I am simply preaching the Word of God. I am simply giving you God's Word. Now, what the Holy Spirit does with it, I have nothing to do with. So if you come under conviction, it's not me. I'm not preaching at you, okay? If your toes are sort of crunched, all right? It's not me. I am simply sharing with you the Word of God, something that God has really impressed on me lately. And this is something I hope it will affect every one of you. I really do. And if it does, then God has had a very successful day here. I want to read one verse, and it's in Genesis 4. Genesis 4 should be easy to find. You find the index, turn a couple pages, and you'll be there. Because this is a question that each one of us seated here this morning must answer. We must. It's not a matter of, I'd like to have you answer it. No, it's a question that you are going to have to answer between you and God, not between you and me. I have nothing to do with this. This is a question that was asked. And I'm going to share that with you. And then we're going to pursue it a little bit. Genesis 4, verse 9. Genesis 4, verse 9. Cain and Abel were brothers. They were the first men born to Adam and Eve. Cain killed Abel because he was jealous of Abel, because Abel made a sacrifice to God of one of his lambs. He shed blood. Cain was a farmer. Cain grew vegetables. And he made an offering, a sacrifice to God, of his vegetables. There was no blood. God accepted one and rejected the other. So Cain killed Abel. God approached him. That's where we come to in verse 9. And the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" And he said, "I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" And folks, that's the question I want to ask you this morning on behalf of the Holy Spirit. Are we our brother's keepers? Now, the answer to that is going to be between you and God, not between you and anybody else. You don't know it, but for a couple of weeks now, this question has been haunting my mind and my heart. And God had gotten me involved in a situation that actually was an answer to one of my prayers. You see, I want to be the best pastor I can be for you. the best pastor I can be for this church. But there's always room for improvement. Always. I don't do everything that I would like to do, sort of like Paul. Those things I want to do, I don't sometimes can't do. And the things I don't want to do, those are sometimes the things I do. And so I ask God in one of my prayer times, God, make me a better pastor. And like I said in Sunday school this morning, don't pray that prayer unless you want an answer, because God is liable to answer it for you. And he did for me. And so I found myself in a place that I'd never been before, doing things I'd never done before, but doing things that I knew God wanted me to do. And he may, as you come to an answer of that question, am I my brother's keeper? He may touch your life and change something. I started wondering just how far I was supposed to go. The situation caused me to start thinking about how far anybody was supposed to go. When we find that a brother or a sister is in some kind of trouble or difficulty, how far do we go? How far does God expect us to go? And I found that I really wasn't quite prepared to answer that question without yielding to the Holy Spirit and to God, which took me in a totally different direction than I intended to go. Sometimes God gives us scriptures that give us the answers to questions we have for him. God, what do you want me to do? Or God, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to, you know, what kind of a person do you want me to be? And sometimes we find scriptures that we read. I'm going to read a scripture in just a minute that you have all read at one time or another. And I don't know whether your thinking went in the direction that the Holy Spirit took mine in, but I'm going to read this scripture. It is not my word. It is God's word. We all want to be like Christ. We want to be like Jesus. We've been studying serving, servanthood, and there's a lot to that. There's a lot of different ways that we can all serve God. And some of us have ways that we can serve God that others can't. Would God ask you to serve that way? I can't answer that for you. You have to answer it. I'm going to read a passage of scripture from the book of Acts. I'm going to have you turn there so you know it came out of the Bible and not out of my mouth. Okay. Acts chapter 2. We started off in Genesis with the question, am I my brother's keeper? Acts chapter 2 is going to answer that question. How you deal with that answer is up to you. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily in with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. There's a picture here that we all need to understand. The believers represented here gave everything to the Lord. Everything. And the early believers understood that everything that they had come from the Lord, and they were simply giving it back to Him. Why has God given the things that we all possess to us? Have they been given to us for us or for His use? And many times as we think about this, we build petitions and we say, well, you know, that's not part of my Christian life. And this is not part of my Christian life, or God wouldn't expect me to do anything with this. Yeah. But we have the example of the early church. And we have that nagging question, and I hope that question will nag at you. Am I my brother's keeper? And again, I can answer it for me. I can't answer it for you. God never answered Cain directly. He never said yes or no. He simply told Cain what the penalty was going to be for his actions. But that question still exists. The picture here we have of the believers, they gave everything they had back to the Lord. Now, none of them went hungry. None of them had to live out in the field or the woods. They all had places. God gave them places because that's what He does. That's what He's promised. But they gave everything back to the Lord that He had given them. And as we sit here this morning, we all have things that God has given us. All kinds of things. Not things we necessarily want to name or number. But God has given us things to be used in ministry for others. And part of the problem with the church today is that we have not given those things back. Let's think about where we are right now with regard to love of the brethren and our spiritual living for the Lord. It's easy to help people, especially if it's convenient. If it doesn't really cost us that much, a few bucks here and there. Maybe we'll bake something for somebody or a family or fix a meal for them. That's great. That's part of what we're supposed to be doing for each other. But what if it goes beyond that? What if it goes way beyond that? Are we going to be our brother's keepers? I keep thinking about the question that Cain asked God. Am I my brother's keeper? And God responding by telling Cain about the consequences of his actions. Let me read that answer that God gave him in Genesis 4, 10 through 12. And he said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground, and now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield to thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth." Now, I have a question. It is not a criticism. It's not a reproach toward anyone in this congregation. The question is simply a means of getting everyone to examine your own heart. That is biblical. We are to examine ourselves. We are to judge ourselves so that God will not have to judge us in another day. There will be a day of judgment for all of us. It will be called the Bema Seat Judgment. It will occur at the time we leave this life. And we stand before Jesus Christ and he says, why did you do what you did? Or why didn't you do what you did? And I find this question, how far are you willing to go to help another Christian? Do all of your possessions belong to the Lord? That's an easy question to answer with an affirmative. But do you consider yourself a student, of a steward of all you possess? I find it amazing that the early church, what they did amongst themselves. They had so much love for each other and that they were willing to put others ahead of themselves. And that's one of the principles we find in Scripture. God first, and then us, right? No. God first, and then our neighbors. He doesn't put us even in the formula. He doesn't put us even in the situation. And it says, and all that believed were together and had all things in common. Now, like I said when I started, it's been 6 years since I preached a message from this passage. And one person who was in the service that day left the church because she thought that I was promoting or proposing that everybody rush right out and sell your homes and give it to the church. That's not it at all. We've all got to have a place to live. We do. God has given us places to live. He expects us to be good stewards of what he has given us. But he has given us other things that we could use for him that sometimes don't get used. Would God ever ask you would he ever ask you to use what you possess for the sake of the kingdom of God? Would he ever ask that? What kind of circumstances would it take for you to consider doing that, giving what you have to the Lord's service, to the Lord's people, to brothers and sisters in Christ? What would it take? What do you currently possess that you don't think God wants you to give away? Think about that question. What do you currently possess that you don't think God wants you to give away? We possess things that we don't believe God wants right now because he hasn't asked us for those things. Could the ministry of God use any of the things that you have right now? Could we do more than what we are doing right now? And those are all questions that we need to ask ourselves. And it's not between you and me. It's between you and God. It is. Someone might reply, well, God wouldn't ask me to do anything foolish. You're right, he wouldn't. Did the people in the early church do something foolish? I don't think so. Has God given you the things that you have for the purpose of hanging on to them? Or was it given to you to use for him? Again, another question only you can answer. Are you using it for him, or are you hanging it onto it for your own benefit? These are all questions he asked me. and I had to come up with answers. What could anyone accomplish for the Lord by giving up some of their possessions? Are there opportunities? Are there needs? Could you personally send out any more missionaries? Could you? Could you feed more starving Christians in different places in the world? How could you benefit other Christians in other countries? Folks, we live in the richest country there is in the world right now. It's crumbling around us. But we still have opportunity to serve God. We still have opportunity to do things for God that He might want us to do. And we need to consider what we can do. There are needs all over the world. There are countries that we can't get into as missionaries. But there are people in those countries who know Jesus Christ as Savior, and they want to pastor churches, they want to organize churches, and they don't know how. And there are secret schools in these countries that train pastors, that teach them how to be successful, what the Bible says, because they haven't had a chance to study the Bible, and they haven't had anybody to explain it to them. And these people need help. These schools are there. They need help. Most of these countries that these kids are in, they have to work to support their family or themselves. They don't have time to go to school and not work. And going to school and working is difficult. Some of you did that. You know how difficult it is. What if we could ease their burden? What if we could send money to support the school so they wouldn't have to charge tuition and they could simply teach the kids and the kids could have a place to live and learn and be able to go out and be pastors and lay people and teachers? See, we have all kinds of opportunities to reach out to our brothers and sisters all over the world. And I believe the time is getting so short that we need to talk to God and deal with Him, let Him deal with our hearts as to how we are to use the resources that He has provided to us. What I'm asking is this. Are you, each one here in the auditorium, are you willing to be more for God than you are right now? Are you willing to do more for God than you've been doing? Now, what does it take to get to that place? We had our Sunday school lesson about serving. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about serving. Serving our Lord, serving our Heavenly Father. And there's one thing that is necessary before any of us can serve God the way we are supposed to. And that one thing is what the early church did. The early church surrendered themselves. They submitted themselves to God's will. And if we're going to get more involved in God's ministry, we're going to have to do that. That's where we start. We start, "Here, God, I'm here." There's the song, "Here Am I. Send me." Well, some of us, and I'm not being nasty, but some of us are too old to go. Some of us are not. And so, are you willing to give yourself and everything you have to God? or is part of it yours? Your security blanket. You're like Linus. He's got his blanket all the time. And we all have our own security blankets. We all do. We might not want to admit it, but we have our own security blankets. And we hang on to them just like Linus did. You take his blanket away and he's lost. Have you considered giving yourself to God completely? Are you willing to imitate the early church? Oh, that's a toughie. That's a really toughie. I want to see our church family reach out into different parts of the world to help us be our brother's keepers. That's what I want to see. I want to see us be our brothers and our sisters' keepers. Now, what do you think the Lord would say when you get to heaven, almost destitute, because you have given everything you had to God? You think he would say, "Thou fool"? I don't think so. I don't think that's what he said to the early church. Most of them gave their lives, ultimately, in service to him. But I want to see all of us serving God with all the talents and the assets that he's provided to us. We saw talent being used here that was here for a while, and why not being used? Jane sort of dug it out. And she has forced some of us to reach inside ourselves and do things we weren't intending to do. Thank you, Jane. But the Holy Spirit, he's there. He's asking us. He's asking you the question. Are you your brother's keeper? And I would ask a second question. How you doing at keeping him? Before we can give him everything, there's one thing we have to give him, and that is we have to make sure that he has completely all of us. He has to have us first. We're not in a faith of works. We're in a faith of believing God and doing what he says to do. And he tells us that everything we have is on loan. And can we use it for him? Will we use it for him? And for some, the answer may be, no, I'm not ready to. Okay, you need to give yourself to the Lord. Because everything that he has given us was given to us to be used for him. Paul rejoiced in Christ with the other believers of his day, but he also found one other thing that he talked about in Scripture. He found that it was necessary for him to die daily to himself. He had to die to self daily. He had to surrender himself over and over and over to God, which he did. You cannot give to God the things he wants until you give yourself. Let's look one more time at how the early church responded to the leading of the Holy Spirit, Acts 2:44 through 46. And all that believed were together and had things in common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. The people understood that the time was going to be short and they didn't want to miss the opportunity to return the love of God that he had bestowed upon them. Wouldn't it be sad to stand before the Lord and he say, what did you do with what I gave you? You say, well, Lord, I needed that. That was for me. It'll be between you and him. The people understood that the time was getting short, that they were not going to be here forever. And so they gave what they could and all that they could. Ultimately, there were times when believers put family and children ahead of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for that God chastened them. How sad to see the resources unused for the Lord's purpose when they were given to us by God for that purpose. God's taking care of this ministry abundantly. I'm concerned that resources that belong to him are being withheld from his ministry because of lack of vision. That's why I pray. When I pray for you folks, I pray that God will give you a vision for what you can do for him. And then he will give you the courage to step out and do that. That's what's needed. Don't misunderstand what I'm advocating. I believe that all of us could do more for the ministry of the Lord than what we're doing. I believe all of us could. I am contending that as individuals, we take the time to inventory what God has given to us and why he gave it, what we can do with it, what we can accomplish for him with what he has given us. Some of you have been given talents in certain areas, or there are certain ministries that you can be involved in. He has given all kinds of resources for us to use for him. And we need to use those. I don't know if you've ever been in a home of a hoarder. I had an aunt and an uncle that were hoarders. Connie's been to their house. He was worth $36.5 million. But everything he had belonged to him. And they had it all in a house in Grosse Pointe, Michigan, a block from the Detroit River. He had a 42-foot yacht. When you went to their house, you had to follow a little path about this wide through the house because stuff was stacked everywhere. He never reached out, she didn't either, to try and help somebody else. And I wonder if God sees us that way sometimes when we're hanging on to the stuff that he has given us. We're piling it up so it'll be there for us. He had a piano like that in the living room. Neither one of them played. How are we each going to answer the Lord when we face him in the Bema Seat judgment? When he asks us, why did we withhold the resources that he had provided for his kingdom's ministries here on earth? What did we put ahead of him? our families, our fear that our families wouldn't understand, and sometimes that's the reason that we don't do some things for him. We're afraid our families will reject us for it. I mentioned earlier that God never answered Cain's question directly. What God told Cain was that he would have to pay for what he had done. What kind of an answer will you give God when he asks you why you didn't use what he gave you? Will you react in shame for not doing what God asked you to do? If you've not done what you could have done, is that a sin? And I'll leave you with this thought. What could you do for the Lord? What you could do for the Lord is what you should do for the Lord. You need to think about that. It was a missionary from the 1800s who said, "All of our life shall soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last." I leave you with this question. What could you do for Jesus Christ? Is there anything keeping you from doing it? Father, we thank you for the way you have been caring for us and providing for us and using us, Father. We know we could do more. And so, Father, as your Holy Spirit works in our hearts, as he reminds us about some of the things that were said this morning, some of the things that opportunities that we have, Father, help us to use those well. Help us to love you enough to do your will in your way and in your time. And Father, we will praise you for all that you do, for all the opportunities that you give us, for the way you lead and for the way you provide. Because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.